All right. Well, welcome, man. It is an honor for me to be here today. With the wind going up, I wish I had more of a hairstyle like Neil than I have myself. But I'm still doing research, so, you know, you pray for me. But honestly, such a privilege to be here. Here's the deal. I believe the Bible is true. I believe Acts 17 is true, which tells us that God has specifically placed times in our lives where He has put us right where He wants us to be so that we can reach out to Him, so that we can connect with Him. I believe this is one of those times that God has orchestrated the details of our lives to put us here right now, right together, because God has something to say to you. I have nothing to offer you that can change your life, but Jesus has the words of life. And I believe that God has something very personal and very profound to say to each one of us if we will listen. The promise in Jeremiah is true. It says that if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. What does that tell us? Does everybody find? No. Does no one find? No. Who finds? The one who wants to. The one who is open. And that's what I'm praying for us today, for you, for me, because God knows everything about you. He knows what's coming down the road for you. He knows your future. He knows what you're dealing with now. He knows what you're going to deal with tomorrow. And He speaks into our lives with that knowledge if we'll listen to Him. So I'm going to ask you to do what I ask what college kids to do that I have the privilege of speaking to week in and week out. I want us to pray together, and I want you to ask God to speak to you, because His promise is true. If we have ears to hear, He will speak to us. And you've heard the probably heard the commercial, you know, 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance. Here's the deal. Here's what the Bible says. The next 15 minutes can absolutely change your life if you'll listen to God. So I'm going to invite us to bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment, if you would, right where you are. And just ask God to speak to you. Say something like this. Say, God, you got my attention. Speak to me, and I will respond. Heavenly Father, we bow before you because we acknowledge that you are the King. You are the one who has the words that we need to hear today. Lord, thank you so much for getting us up and getting us here. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. And may we respond to what you, the Creator, the King of the universe, who loves us so much. May we respond to what you have to say to us today, Jesus. In your name we pray these things. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. Let me give you a little background. This episode from Jesus' life is just hours before He's going to be arrested and eventually crucified. It's what we've come to know as the Last Supper. It's the Passover meal that Jesus is celebrating with His disciples. It's called the Last Supper because it will be the Last Supper, the last meal that they celebrate with Jesus, that they have with Jesus before He becomes crucified. It's partway through the meal. We pick up the narrative. John 13, verse 21 says this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them He meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask Him which one He means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked Him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Judas Iscariot. The name leaves a bitter aftertaste in your mouth because it has become synonymous with betrayal, one of the worst kinds of betrayal, the betrayal of a friend. Judas was one of the 12 that Jesus chose to travel with Him, and travel with Him He did. For 3 years, He watched Jesus. He listened to Him teach. He watched His life. He watched Him perform incredible miracles. He followed Him with His feet, but He never followed Him with His heart. So tragic that He was so close to Jesus physically and yet so far away spiritually with His heart. Judas was given charge of the money bags because apparently he had a savvy business head about him. And so he was in charge of the money for the ministry, and he held on to that bag with a pilfering hand, taking a little money here, a little money there for himself when no one was looking. And when the tide of popular opinion turned against Jesus, Judas started to look for different options. And then he watched as Jesus did something that no one had ever done before. Jesus began to point the finger of accusation against the religious leaders of the day, against the religious hierarchy. And no one did that, ever. Within that religious hierarchy became a cauldron brewing with bitterness and resentment and anger and paranoia and hatred towards Jesus. So much so that they finally decided, these religious leaders, they decided that Jesus must be stopped. He must be killed. And once Judas got wind of this plot, his mind, business as it was, went right to the bottom line. If they're going to kill Jesus, who's going to be next? The 12. I am going to be next, he thought. So his shift in loyalties, he never really saw as a betrayal. I mean, who could condemn a man, blame him for jumping from a sinking ship? And surely Jesus was a sinking ship. And 30 pieces of silver, well, it was just a little life preserver to help him on the choppy waves of life that were ahead. And up until this point, Judas was able to keep his identity a secret, hidden from the other disciples. But tonight, on this night, all of that would change. They celebrated the Passover in an upper room. They reclined at a low-lying table, which was the custom in their day. They laid out slantwise, propping themselves up on one arm with the other hand free to handle the food. Earlier in the night, Jesus had given all the disciples one final example in servanthood, and he washed their feet. Two of those feet belonged to Judas. Can you imagine that moment? How convicting that must have been for Judas. How crushing that must have been for Jesus. And yet, with every drop of water, with every wipe of the towel of Judas's feet, Jesus was reaching out to Judas. He was giving him another opportunity, another chance to turn it around. But Judas didn't respond. The room was lit with oil lamps all around the room, casting shadows all over the wall. And inside one of those shadows was the King of Darkness himself, waiting for just the right moment. Well, that moment was about to come. Because at this point in the meal, things got silent. Jesus' face became intense, and then he dropped the bomb. I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. A stunned ripple went through the disciples. Who could it possibly be? They recoiled at the thought of a traitor amongst them. Finally, Peter motioned to John. He said, John, ask Jesus who it is. Because John was sitting closest to Jesus. And so he did. And Jesus responded, the one whom I give the piece of bread that I dip in the dish, that is the one who will betray me. It was customary for the master of the feast to take a piece of bread, put little pieces of lamb on it, and dip it in the herbs and hand it to his guests. And it was customary for the master of the feast to hand the very first piece of bread to the most honored guest. Jesus took that piece of bread and he handed it to Judas Iscariot. What must have been racing through his mind at that moment? We don't know. What we do know is that Satan saw the moment as being strategic and he leapt into Judas. And finally, Jesus looked at him and said, what you're about to do, go and do quickly. And with those words, Jesus sealed his fate and the fate of Judas. Jesus had offered him a piece of bread. It was not only the unmasking of the traitor, but it was a final offer of salvation. Final offer of redemption. And Judas pulled back and said no. And when Judas went out, both he and Jesus, from that point forward, went their separate ways. They went to separate destinies, separate trees. What you are about to do, go, do quickly. It would be the last command that Judas would ever hear from Jesus, and it would be the last command that Judas would ever obey. Ever. This tragic but powerful story gives us two truths for you and me here today, two life altering truths. Truth number one, this story tells us, is this: that no matter what's going on with you, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how big your mess, Jesus pursues you still. Jesus will pursue you no matter what. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know what brings you here today, but God does. Maybe things look great on the outside, but on the inside, it's a mess. Maybe you're angry at God, or you have doubts, or you have questions, or there's bitterness, or there's anger, or there's deep treachery in your heart. Here's what this story tells us: that no matter how big your struggle, no matter how big your problem, no matter how big your mess, Jesus will pursue you. Jesus will reach out to you. Jesus desires to minister to you no matter what. I mean, look at the story of Judas. How great is Jesus' love? Because Jesus knew everything about him. He knew exactly what was going on in his head. He understood his motivation. He knew his heart. He knew what was coming. He knew the choices that Judas was thinking about making. Jesus knew all of that. And yet here he is reaching out to him, pursuing him, wanting to minister to him. And the truth is true today, right here, right now. God knows exactly what's going on with you. He knows your heart. He knows your challenges. He knows your struggles. He knows what's happening. And he says, I'm here. I'm reaching out to you. I care. I want to forgive you. I want to help you. I want to give you hope. I desire you. That is how great his love is. And that is the first truth that we are told here. That's who Jesus is. That no matter how big your mess, no matter what's going on with you, no matter your doubts, Jesus will still pursue you. But there's a second truth. And Jesus pursued Judas right up to the end. But the end did come. That's the second truth. There is an end coming. If you and I, if we continue to resist Jesus, continue to resist his overtures, his invitation, his pursuit, if we continue to push him off, there will be a moment in our lives where those two words will be written over us, too late. It's what happened to Judas. Jesus told a story earlier in his ministry about a guy who had everything the world says, this is what you need to be happy. This dude was loaded. He had all kinds of money and possessions. But he had a problem. He had too much. So he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these old barns. I'm going to build new, bigger barns and fill them completely with my stuff. And then I'm going to lean back and I'm going to say, soul, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God looks down on him and says, you fool, for tonight your soul will be required of you. He thought he had lots of time. But none of his money, none of his stuff, none of his planning, none of his strategic ideas, none of it kept it from being too late in his life. And that's what this story tells us, that there is an end coming, that there is a too late coming. So here's the question for every single one of us. Here's the question. Which of these two truths do you need today, right now? Maybe you need the first truth. Maybe you need to know that there is a God who loves you, who's passionate about you, and he pursues you. Regardless of what's going on in your life, nothing can keep him from coming after you. He is that good and he is that big. No depth of your sin, no depth of your struggle, no depth of your mess can keep Jesus from pursuing you. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe if you're a believer, you're a Christ follower, you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you need to be reminded that the God of the universe says, hey, you are known and cared for by the one who will never change his mind, ever, because you're in Christ. God will never change his mind about you, regardless of what's going on in your life. And he pursues you. He reaches out to you. He says, come, come. If you're in a struggle right now as a believer, look it. The only thing that kept the prodigal son in his junk, in his mess, was his decision, not his father's. The only thing that will keep us in our mess is our decision, not God's, not our Heavenly Father's. He says, come, come, rest, lean into me, repent if you need to, because I care for you, and I will never change my mind about you, and I'm coming after you. I am here for you, and not because he needs us. Listen, he's the God of the universe. Jesus isn't standing outside our lives, you know, kind of shifting from back and forth. Boy, I hope he chooses me. I hope he chooses me. We've got nothing that he needs. We bring nothing to the table for him. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. And that's what makes it so spectacular, is that he wants you. He declares that he is love, that he is good, and that he wants you today, right now. When you think, as believers, that we serve a God who has called us to eternal things and is absolutely crazy about us, our caution, our hesitancy looks ridiculous. He says, come, because I am pursuing you. But if you're here and you don't know God, you've never invited Christ into your life, you need to know the singular most important reason why you're here right now, why God has arranged for you to be here, is because he wants you to know him. Because the second truth is absolutely real. There is an end coming. There is a too late coming for you if you continue to push Jesus away. Say, Wes, you're just trying to be dramatic. No, I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be real. The Bible tells us that every single one of us comes into this life with a problem, and it's serious. It's called sin. We're sinners by birth, sinners by choice. We have made the decision to say no to God. We've kicked him off the throne of our lives, say, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be God in my life. Every single one of us is guilty of the foul revolt of our soul. And there's a payment for that because it's an eternal crime against an eternal God. There's an eternal payment. If nothing changes in our lives when we step off this planet, we step into an existence separated from God forever in a place of justice and judgment called hell. People don't like to talk about hell, but if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the account of the life and times of Jesus Christ, you know what? You'll find that Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. Why? Because love is in the warning. He wants you to know the truth, that God doesn't want you to be separated from him. That is not why he brought you into this world. He wants you to know him, and so he launched a rescue mission. The most famous verse in all the Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just kind of loved, not just sort of loved, so, two letters, so, S-O. Enormous weight in those two letters. Unbelievable. You can't fathom the depth of his love for you. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only son. God says, I'm not waiting for you to come to me, I'm coming after you. He gave his only son. Why? Because someone had to pay the price for our sin. Because it's an eternal crime. Only Jesus was qualified. Look at, a sinner can't save another sinner. A drowning man can't rescue another drowning man. You need a lifeguard. You need a savior. So Jesus came. He died on the cross. He took all of our sin, all of our punishment that we deserved. He died 3 days later, rose from the grave, conquering sin, hell, and death. And he comes to you, and he comes to me through his word. He says, I love you. I want you to know me. I want to give your life purpose. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, wide open invitation, no one is excluded. Whoever believes in him, not believes about, that's different. A lot of people believe about God. They believe that Jesus existed as a historical figure. That's not what it's talking about. When you believe in someone, that's different. You know what that's like. When you believe in somebody, you believe in what they're all about, what they stand for, who they are. The force of that word is to commit. You surrender your life to Jesus. You say, I'm a sinner, I need a savior. Come into my life. Whoever believes in him will not perish, guaranteed. Will not perish, but will have eternal life. Eternal life is life that never ends. It starts here the moment you invite Christ into your life. And it continues on throughout eternity into heaven. God brings you life into yourself. He transfers you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Why? Because he loves you. Jesus had an incredible plan to get you back, to die. That's why he came, to get me back. He died for me. He died for you. And when you respond to him, he gives you eternal life. But if you continue to push him off, if you continue to resist, there is a too late coming. There is an end that is coming. So which of these two truths do you need today? Maybe you need truth number one, to be reminded that Jesus pursues you, no matter what's going on with you. Or maybe today you need to honestly be reminded that tomorrow may never come. And that's not being dramatic, that's being real. What is Jesus calling you to choose? God lays his truth out. It's your choice. Let's pray together. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are as a matter of respect for those around you, and everyone deserves respect. What did the God of the universe speak to you right now? Because if you ask him to talk to you, he honors that. Jesus always shows up where he's invited. If you invited him to speak to you, he has spoken to you. What has he said, and what do you need to do about it? If you're here and you're a believer, maybe you just need to be reminded that Jesus is pursuing you. Or maybe you're in a spot where he's been tapping you on the shoulder for something. He's been tapping you on the heart for something in your life. Something you need to surrender, something that you need to turn from, something that you need to give to him, and you've been kind of pushing it off. It needs to stop right now. You need to turn to him instead of from him. He's your heavenly Father. He's passionate about you. You are cared and seen by the one who will never change his mind about you. Respond to him. Lean in. Let him breathe fresh life into you because he loves you. Doesn't need you. He wants you. Final question. You're here and you've never invited Christ into your life. I'm not talking about you go to church, you're a nice person. That'll never get it done. Why? Because the standard is not good or good enough. The standard is perfect. None of us are perfect. That's why Jesus had to come. He was the only perfect one. As I've been speaking, it's just like someone has put their finger right in the middle of your chest saying, man, this is you. Well, that's not me. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. Will you respond to him? If you're here and you're realizing, I don't want it to be too late. I want Jesus in my life. I want to know I'm going to heaven. If you died tonight, do you know? Do you know you're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to him? Do you know that? Because you can. You absolutely can. In fact, you can know that right now. And if that's you, if God has spoken to you saying, you need to come to me, you need to give your life to me, then just tell him that's what you want. Right where you're there, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, tell him. In fact, let me give you some words because somebody loved me enough to give me some words. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Just silently pray something like this. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I get it. And I need a Savior. I need you. I believe you died for me. And you have life to give me. I want that. I want my sins forgiven. I want a relationship with you. So I turn from my sin. I repent. And I turn to you. Come into my life. Save me. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. But if you just prayed that or something like that, I'm going to ask you to do something very specific. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now without anyone looking around. But if you just prayed that and you meant it, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand nice and high and look right at me because I want to remember you in a closing prayer. If that's you all over the beach, I want you to hold nice and high. God bless you. Nice and high. Hold them up nice and high. This is a big crowd. I don't want to miss anybody. I want to look at you. I want you to look right at me. I want you to stare me down. Man, somebody prayed for me. I want to pray for you. Awesome. Keep them up. Let's pray together. God, I only see hands. You see hearts. You know what's going on. Make it real in their lives. Help them to know. God, help them to know. They've been serious with you. You have been serious with them. You've moved into their lives. You've given them eternal life. Thank you, Father. With your hands up, still looking at me. Hands up, looking right at me. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to come and meet me because I got something I want to give to you. And if I said it was $1,000, I'm pretty sure you'd rush the stage. Why? Because we understand what's value. We understand what's valuable. So if you meant it, and you meant it, I'm going to ask you to come right now. I want you to meet me right here because I have something I want to give you that's going to help you. If you're serious, you can bring a friend if you want. I want you to get up from where you are. I want you to meet me right now. Come on. If you're serious about it, come right now. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, but you know you need Jesus, come on. Right here. You can bring a friend. You're surrounded by family and friends and fans. If you're serious, come on. Jesus always called people publicly. That's why we do this. If you meant it, come on. If you gave your life to Jesus and you're serious about it, come on up. It's not too late. Last call. If you want to come, come on. Not too late. God talked to your heart. Come on up. I want to give you something that's going to help you. And your movement is one of those moments in your life. You're driving a stake in the ground saying, I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. That's why Jesus called people publicly. That's why he called them publicly. So last call. If you made a decision, you just pray that prayer, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come. This is serious. Come on. You want to bring a friend? Come on. Totally awesome. Want to bring a spouse, family member, be with you? Fantastic. It's okay, we'll wait just a second. Brothers and sisters, can we praise God for what he's doing here today? This is his work. This is his work. He gets all the credit.